90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Good morning and welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. We got past the storms last night. We still have a weather advisory Thursday, so be careful. And if you're going to school day at the K, you definitely may want to take a umbrella or a rain gear because it's going to be a little bit rainy. So today our guest is Ms. Chelsea Myrick of Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City. Good morning, Chelsea. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Thank you, Joe.
Can you tell us a little bit about your back? Tell listeners a little bit about your background.
Yes. Well, I moved back to Kansas City about a year and a half ago. I was living in Portland, Oregon, working at a nonprofit that recycled and reused electronics. And I came back here and was looking to get into kind of the energy efficiency area. And I was looking up energy efficiency in Kansas City, and I came across the weatherization program.
Okay. So how long have you worked for United Services?
About a year and 2 months.
Okay. So United Services is an organization that is dedicated to helping people who live within poverty. And in the 2015 poverty stats, 17.6% of the people who reside in Jackson County live in poverty. So that's almost 20%. So almost one in five people in Kansas City are living within poverty. What is the mission of Community Action Agency of Kansas City?
You know, our mission is to make is to help people. We're kind of like a safety net, is to provide them with services so that they can become self-reliant. You know, sometimes you just need a little help up, whether it's our utility assistance or just some case management. So our goal is to help people lift them out of poverty and into where they can be self-reliant.
Your organization recently changed its name, and our listeners may know you of your old name, which is United Services Community Action Agency. So can you explain to them what is the new name now?
Yes, our new name is the Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City.
And what made you decide to change your name?
We changed it because under the old name, although people did know us, they both still say Community Action Agency. With having changed the new name, it puts us more under the umbrella of all the community action agencies that are in the country because they're all kind of united through the Community Action Partnership. So now this just makes us more visible, and it eliminates some brand confusion because sometimes there's organizations that's name is close to ours.
And not only did you change your name, but you changed your address. You used to be located off of 63rd Street in Winchester. So where are you located at now?
We are now located at 6025 Prospect Avenue. So it's right off 71 and 63rd Street.
So right there off of Prospect, but you're not in the front of the building, you're in the back, so you've got the entire back floor of the building. So when people come out to take a look to find you, I know the first floor they may find FEC and the National Association of Contractors, but they have to go around back, and then they can find you all. Your door is right there in the back. You can see it off of 71 Highway.
That's true. We have a sign that you can see from the highway, and also when you come around the building, we're just going to be right in the middle. It's not the easiest to see from the road, but, yeah, just look for that FEC sign, and then just go around the back.
Okay. So do you provide services just in the greater Kansas City area or other counties within our geographical region?
Actually, we're pretty broad. We not only go within Kansas City, but the whole Jackson, Clay, and all of Platte County. So we do those full three counties. We go pretty far.
Okay, and that's definitely the greater metropolitan area. Some further stats, 7.6% of the people who reside in Platte County are within poverty, and 7.8% of the people who reside in Clay County are in poverty. So poverty doesn't know a zip code. It doesn't know a block. Poverty, you can be living next door to someone and not know that they're actually living in poverty.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, sometimes when our auditors go out to houses, it would be homes that, you know, you wouldn't think would have you know, people who may be in poverty, but it's because, you know, you don't look at the home from the outside. You know, people could be living, as you said, people could be living next to you and you wouldn't know that they're in poverty.
So how many offices do you have within the greater metropolitan Kansas City area?
We have 5 offices. We have 2 that are in Jackson County, and then we also have 1 in Platte County and 2 in Clay County.
Okay. So, but for people looking to, within the Kansas City metropolitan area, your main office where they need to come get services would be the office on Prospect, correct?
That's true, yeah. Our departments moved over there about last fall because we were just running out of space at the old office because we've been getting so many employees.
So I know a lot of people still think that they're located off of the old address, off of 63rd Street, and it's, a lot of it's word of mouth, but now it's the new address, which is actually bus-friendly because next year, the Prospect Max is going to come online, so that means every 10 minutes you'll be able to catch a bus. But also, right now, you can get there probably about every 20 minutes. There's a bus always running somewhere down Prospect that will get you right there to that address.
Yeah, and we're also more visible in our new location. And although we're on the back side of the building, people can at least see the building, whereas in our old location, you kind of had to go up the hill, and it might be kind of hidden by the trees.
Yes, you had to go up. It's kind of like going through the woods and up to Grandma's house to find your location.
Yes, it is.
So what are the hours that Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City is open?
Well, for a good portion of our offices, we're open from like 8 to 11:30, and then we break for lunch from 11:30 to 1, and then we open back up at 1, and then we stop at 4:30.
Okay. So the services that you provide for families, or can individuals also receive assistance?
It's for both people. It's for everybody. It can be whether they're individuals, families. We also they're also open to anyone of any age.
Okay. So essentially anybody from the age of, say, youth all the way up to 100 years old essentially can qualify for you all services.
Yes, that's correct.
Community Action Agency offers the services under 4 areas. Can you briefly tell us what those 4 areas are?
Yes. Well, the first area is kind of our support services. So they provide a lot of different things. One is the emergency assistance. So people can get one-time help with rental assistance, utility assistance, transportation, even maybe one-time legal fee, and help with car repair. That's one. And then they also have case management, which is a big program for them. So the client would have to be working, and they can get counseling. The program lasts about 3 months, and there's they kind of do quarterly check-ins with the client. They can also get help with their rent being paid while they're in the program. But the case managers also do work with them to set, you know, financial goals, and do some planning to make sure to try and help the client get to be self-reliant.
Okay. So under the supportive services of case management, why is financial education and goal setting important to the people in which you're really trying to help become self-sufficient?
Because, you know, sometimes things happen in your life, and if they can get some help with financial planning to where maybe if there is a sudden, you know, big thing that happens, whether it's a loss of job or other things, being able to have some more things in place, like maybe more savings or more ways of maybe a better system of planning your finances, then they wouldn't have to come to us. I mean, they'd be able to really help themselves and, you know, succeed and just be able to...
just really be able to help themselves. So they're, and I know it also would help a lot in Kansas City to where we are a huge payday loan place. So a lot of people, when they get into trouble, they would go straight for that first payday loan. So if they've got those financial, a little bit of financial savings, that can keep them from getting into that payday loan cycle, which if you're already down and out, that will put you even down and out further.
That's true, yes. And with the higher interest of payday loans, this would not only save them money, but it helps them in the long run, you know, in terms of credit too, not having, you know, less potential damage to their credit.
So what type of housing assistance is offered under your case management programs?
A big part of it's like rental assistance, and with that, it's up to 3 months, and then it's mainly through our case management program. And so for that, as I said, they do have to be working. They can get counseling. But we're also, there is income guidelines for each of our programs. Our programs are free, but people do have to meet some certain income guidelines. So for support services, like, you know, one person can make $15,075 a year and be eligible, and then it goes up. Even a family of 4 can make $30,000 $750 and be eligible.
I know. What type of food and clothing assistance is available for those people that may be in case service management?
Well, we have around 32 food pantries that are strategically located throughout our service area. A good portion of them are in Jackson County, but we also reach up to Clay and Platte counties. So this way people can access those, and, you know, makes it a little easier because sometimes, you know, it's just one of the other things that it can be hard to afford.
Yeah, it can be hard to afford, and also having that network of 32 locations can make it closer to somebody's house, because if a lot of people, the first thing that goes is if the car has a problem and I'm on public transportation and it's harder to get to that location if it's all the way across town. So having that wide network helps a lot of people, especially a lot of people in our city live within food deserts where there are not places that will serve fresh fruits and vegetables. And while, you know, we're working within that, and June the 16th, they're going to open up the new store in Midtown, the Sunfresh. It's going to definitely help people to live within that area that were residing within a food desert and hadn't had a grocery store in that location for almost 20 years. So it's definitely important to be able to be close to somewhere where you can get food and have a nutritious, cook a nutritious meal for your family, because it's going to be a lot cheaper than eating out, and plus a lot healthier.
Yes, and, you know, I didn't know that store was opening. That's wonderful to hear. And a lot of our clients, they come to us on the bus, and sometimes it's even hard for them to get to the bus because sometimes they may not be able to move really easily. So that's wonderful that, you know, more of them are located in their neighborhood.
That's one of the things I know. There used to be, I serve on the Prospect Max Committee, and one of the things we used to have to talk about was that there were certain bus drivers that wouldn't allow people to get two bags of groceries to get on the bus, and we had to have a conversation about that. And I'm so happy right now that they've got the Ride KC program that will actually pick up people and take them to different places. But then we got that situation corrected where people don't have to worry about just, because you can only put so much in two bags, and then you're having to pick and choose. And then when you're looking at things that you can only put in two bags, a lot of it is high fat, high calorie content things, because they're going to go farther and you can spread your dollars wiser. So as we briefly touched on earlier, you also offer for youth services. What type of assistance do you have for youth?
Well, that department has a lot of different programs. One of them is the Fatherhood Initiative. So the dads can bond with their kids and learn more about parenting through fun activities and education workshops. I know they've taken them on field trips before. So that's a pretty cool thing. And they also have Pave the Way, which is a big program. It is their after-school and summer program for high schoolers. They work to develop leadership skills and explore career options. They can even receive a stipend while they're in the program. And then some of the students may qualify for a scholarship. They also have a few more. They have a Back Snacks program where, you know, sometimes with kids they don't have, you know, food to eat on the weekends. So they provide backpacks full of nutritious food that kids can take home.
And that's definitely a plus. Not only is it a plus, but that program, but also the summer stipend program where they can earn dollars that they can use to buy their own school clothes and different things. And if they work the program, as you said, college scholarships, because the price of college is not decreasing, it's only increasing. And to be able to get some type of financial assistance goes a long way for a lot of families.
Yes, and it's great because they also do college tours for the kids, so that lets them get out maybe to colleges that they wouldn't be able to visit otherwise and lets them see around.
Yes, because a lot of I'm one of the fortunate ones. I was born here, raised here in Kansas City, went to Central High School and graduated, but I actually got a chance to see the world. But I've known people who I've graduated with who haven't been out of the state of Missouri, and, you know, it takes a lot. And wants to see some things that you've only seen in books, and to see the other side of the world is definitely a blessing in many ways. So you also provide weatherization assistance. Why is weatherization assistance so important?
Weatherization is really important because, well, I'll say what we do first. We provide free home energy audits to people in the service area. And so what we go in and do is try to make the home more energy efficient. We go into a lot of homes where they lack insulation, or maybe the furnace or the heating source is really old. And with that, you know, especially with our winters, it makes it really hard for people to be comfortable in their home and to really just stay in there. You know, we've had people who it's really hard to be in a home without, you know, it's really hard to be in a home without a furnace because you can't stay warm you know, and that's not good for the people or the kids. So what we go in and do is we can, you know, increase insulation in the attic and the walls, do some caulking and weather stripping, air sealing, and I'd say for homeowners, we can put an average of $7,000 in a home.
That is a huge amount of money that will go a long way. And I know the one thing here in Kansas City, when it becomes wintertime, we also see an increase in the number of electrical fires and the number of deaths from just people trying to keep warm because they overload an outlet. They may not have their furnace. It may not be working. And they have to turn around and plug in three or four space heaters, and then that overloads that electrical circuit. And then the next thing you know, you've got a fire with the potential for a loss of life. So insulating a home and making sure that home can really keep heat not only helps the individual that's living in that home, but it also helps them save money on those utilities. And that is a big thing. I was at the city's housing summit that we had. It was April 23rd here at Swope Park near Southeast Community Center. And it was noted that a lot of the people who reside in the heart of the city will pay more for utilities. And because a lot of those houses are not weatherized or insulated, so that in turn, we used to call them April to October houses in my neighborhood. People would move in April when it's warm. They move out in October when they get their first bill because the heat is just going out the house at a tremendous rate and they can't afford it. You know, heating bills, I've talked to residents who've had $1,000 a month heating bills. And if you're only making $2,800 a month and, you know, a third of your money is going to pay rent, another third is going toward one utility bill, that's a whole lot to try to survive on just that last third of what you're being paid.
You know, we've heard that too with the high energy bills, and it's hard with, as he was saying, you know, when they don't have, you know, with their heating sources out, they use space heaters. And then with the space heaters, not only your electric bill goes up, but then what if you get disconnected?
That's exactly it. In Kansas City, just a few housing stats for you, 50% of all homes are occupied by renters, and the remaining 44% are occupied by homeowners. So we've become a city where more people rent than they actually own their home. And in today's housing market, where you see it's a fast-paced market, it's a moving market, housing costs are going up tremendously. So, you know, if you've definitely got an opportunity to look at finding some place that you can purchase, the average homeowner pays only about 40% of what the average renter is actually paying in rent. You know, there are people down Prospect who are paying $800-$900 a month for small homes. I was part of a housing tour last weekend, and we were going through homes, and they were showing brand new homes in Kansas City for $275,000, which is about a $1,500 a month mortgage payment. And if you're only, federal guidelines want you only spend one third of your income on housing, then a family would have to earn $50,000, roughly $50,000 a year, a little bit more, because it'd be about $4,500 a month, which would equate to really about $60,000 a year. And one of the stats that was put out at the housing meeting was that the average income, if you lump everybody in Kansas City together, the average income is $47,000 a year. So there's not too many places where, if we look at everybody in Kansas City making the amount of money they make, they don't make enough money to be able to afford the $275,000 house. And if you are a person of color, if you were Latino, a couple years ago, Mayor Scott James stated that the average for the Latino family in the State of the Union was about $32,000, and for the African-American family, it was $29,000. So that definitely puts us into a situation where we're not only in a housing crunch, but we're now in a crunch where people are spending more of their income to actually just put a place over their home, put a roof over their head. So that's definitely something that people have to look at. And one more stat from that meeting. In Kansas City, we have higher utility costs, and the average resident spends 4.5% of their income on utilities. So essentially 5% of what you have coming in is not going to be spent on utilities. So between housing, which should say 30%, another 5% for utilities. So now almost 40% of what you have coming in is just being spent on two things.
Wow. And, you know, people have realized that after they get weatherization, they save about an average of $400 a year on their utility bills.
Yes. One of the things that people should really look at, where your foundation and the wood frame of your home come together is called the sill plate, S-I-L-L-P-L-A-T-E. And in the wintertime, in homes that haven't been weatherized, that sill plate is not caulked or sealed. So when your furnace kicks on to pull in air, it starts sucking all that cold air from outside. And now the furnace has to work twice as hard to heat all that cold air and send it up through the house. So that cycle is happening, you know, 50 to 100 times a day, just trying to keep your home heated. In the summertime, it's actually the reverse. It's now sucking in the 95 to 100 degree air from outside and then trying to cool it down to 72 to 75 degrees. So it's working hard, which puts an additional strain on your furnace. Just going around and sealing that plate around your house with different materials that you can get from any big box store, some of the foam, or even some of the organizations in Kansas City will come do it for you, will give you a huge, about 25% reduction in the cost of utilities. And those are things that people, like I said, you can do yourself or you can get someone to come help you, but that's definitely something that you want to look at as far as that. So to receive these $7,000 worth of abundance services, what must a resident do?
Well, they would have to apply for our program, and I want to say that it's open to renters and homeowners. A lot of people, when they hear our program, they think they can't do it because they're a renter. The only stipulation for renters is that the landlord would have to agree to let us come in. It's a no cost to the landlord. They just have to sign a form. And so they fill out an application, and then they just provide a few documents, you know, a copy of their Social Security card, you know, copy of their, you know, recorded deed or the landlord form, and then the copies of utility bills, and then also we would need proof of income for 3 months.
So is that 3 months prior to them applying for services, or the 3 months including that applying for services?
It would be the 3 months prior, and we would need that for everybody in the house who's 19 years of age and older.
Okay. So what is the average utility? What is the average? Can they receive weatherization if one of their primary services is disconnected? So if the lights are maybe off or if the gas may be off, can you still do weatherization in that case?
That we are not able to, because when we go to do the audit, they test the water heater and the furnace just to see how efficient they are. It does not mean those items will be replaced, but we do have to test them. And so if the utilities are off, then we can't go in. So that is something that we talked about to clients on the phone, or sometimes they even let us know if the utilities are off. Because that we kind of have to pause and just wait for them to have the utilities turned back on.
So are there any situations where you may not, where a person may sign up, a resident may sign up to have their home weatherized, but say, as you said, the furnace is not working, other than utilities being on, that could stop a house from being weatherized?
There are. When we go into a home, there's some issues that sometimes we've come across that we're unable to get around. So, for example, mold. If there's mold in the home, we can't go and weatherize it. The same with if there's pest, if there's a roof leak, which what we've had especially last year with a lot of the rain that we got is that we kept getting going into homes and we saw roof leaks. And with those, the problem is if we go and put insulation in the attic but the roof is leaking, then that causes moisture problems, and that's a whole bigger issue. So with those, what we do is we have to defer the client, and then they have 45 days to fix the issue. We have referred people to the Kansas City's Minor Home Repair Program before, but if the issues that we find aren't fixed in 45 days, then we kind of have to permanently defer them, and if maybe a year, couple years down the road, if it gets fixed, we can go out and see, and then they can reapply for the program.
I know that some people they may be worried because it's, you know, the grass is growing, you know, the weather's good again, and the weekly code inspection trips are now starting to begin in neighborhoods. So if you all go into a house and see something that may be a code violation or maybe another violation, are you all mandated reported where you have to report that, or is that something that the United Services is not concerned about?
No, that's not something. We're not a mandated reporter. We just go in and do the weatherization because that's a thing that we've heard a lot from people who were interested in the program, but we're worried about that. And so that's not something that we report on. We don't tell, you know, the city if there's a code violation. We just focus on doing the weatherization and if it's safe for our contractors to come in. So that's our focus, is that it's safe for us to come in and do the work.
So if you have any questions for our individual from United Services, give us a call on our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. And as a former neighborhood leader, I can definitely say that the services that they give to residents are top-notch. There's a couple of residents that I've helped get services, refer them to you all because they didn't know exactly where to go get weatherization. And they came in and insulated. They caulked the windows. You know, they did around the doors, put a little strips around the doors. You know, they, in one case, they even put in a new, they put in a bathroom vent fan, and they put in a couple of other different things that were actually, you know, helpful for the homeowners that makes the house a lot more healthier.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad you connected with them to us.
So, you know, you also work with the Healthy Homes Program. What is the Healthy Homes Program?
Yes, the Healthy Homes Program is out of our support services office. So what they do is that they can go and assess the home to see if maybe one of the causes of chronic illness could be asthma. And so we kind of work with them because we've referred people to them who, when we go into the home, and they have that. So they can go, the Healthy Homes case manager can go and, you know, provide some information for the home of ways that the client can operate to see if it's to make it healthier, and then also we can even sometimes make repairs to the home so that the client you know, doesn't get worse in their house.
So not only are you going to insulate homes, weatherize homes, but you're going to make sure that the homes are healthy for the people that actually live in the home, so that helps them from not having to, in some cases, the people that may be residing in poverty don't have to worry about additional medical cost or bills from things that may be in a home that could make them sick.
Yes, and, you know, Healthy Homes, that's another one. As I said, all our services are free, so people don't have to worry about, you know, is this going to cost me to have somebody come out? And it's a pretty good program because, you know, there's so many things that could be going on in the home and people may not even know. So, you know, it's kind of about education and then, you know, helping to fix some things to where they don't have to suffer or where it stops the problem.
I know you all can't do this without some great community partners that are helping you. Can you name just a few of those community partners that all that help you all with the weatherization and with the other programs that you offer United Services?
Yes. So one of ours is Habitat for Humanity. And then I know our support services works with Restart. And then we have, I mean, we it's really the food pantries are a lot of the big partners that they work with. And then we've also worked with Northland Neighbors before for weatherization. They're kind of north of the river. So they do a lot of work up there. And then for ours program, we also work with Northland Shepherd Center. That's up in Gladstone.
So it truly takes a village and community coming together to help those, and you're helping those in need, but you're also helping those that may reside not only just in Kansas City, but as you said, Platte County and Clay County as well.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, we're just always looking to find more partners and, you know, find more people we can help. And so anyone that, you know, if we find somebody, maybe we can't help them or we know somebody who has the resources. Because, you know, as weatherization, we can't do everything in a home. So we refer people, as I said, to the Minor Home Repair Program. Sometimes it's the Northland neighborhood. So, yeah, really just, you know, working with other partners, you know, just saying, you know, we just want to, you know, get clients as much help as we can.
Okay. We're going to take a short break, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station. This is Joseph Jackson with Cowtown Conversations. And today our guest is Chelsea Myrick of Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City, and we'll be right back after this short station break. And we're back. This is Joseph Jackson, host of Cowtown Conversations. And our guest, for those of you all who may just be tuning in, is Chelsea Myrick of Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City. So if you have a question for Chelsea about some of the programs and services they provide, please give us a call at 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-5534. So as you are working with people to help them become self-sufficient, you also have a program that's called CAPS. Can you briefly discuss the CAPS program and what it actually does to help people?
Yes, our CAPS program, they do a poverty simulation. So they get, I know they've had sometimes a room of like 80 people. They come together, and really it just lets people experience what it's like to live, you know, just like the 45 million Americans that are in poverty. So, you know, you walk in, you could get a card that says, you know, you are a single mother with four kids, you just lost your job. And, you know, these people in the table, they, you know, they the facilitators around kind of give them different scenarios that happen to them and say, you know, now what are you going to do? You know, how do you experience this? Sometimes there's somebody who, you know, they just stole something. So then what do you do?
So that's definitely, it gives you a different perspective of how other people particularly view and live in life. I know one of the things when my children were young, they attended the Boys and Girls Club, and they would always do a poverty simulation every year where they let them live in a cardboard box and see how different things would impact and affect them. And, you know, from figuring out where to get a meal, or it's raining and your boxes, you know, or something's happened or you've been hurt, and just getting to get them to see what it actually is, but to also motivate them to want to do something different, to ensure that they may, you know, you may not have to go to college, but you can definitely have a great career. There are a lot of training at technical programs. You know, some of the things that you all mentioned as far as giving students scholarships, working with them. So there's not just one pathway to success. There are many pathways to the success, and the road has a lot of winds and turns, but you just have to navigate the road to become what you were meant to be.
Yes, and I, you know, I thought that was really good that you told the story about what your kids did as that poverty simulation. That makes it a lot more real being on the street.
Yes. So one of the last programs you offer is you have LIHEAP and the ECI, Energy Crisis Intervention Program. What is the LIHEAP program?
Yeah, our LIHEAP program, they provide utility assistance. And so within that, they have a couple different programs. One is the, you know, emergency assistance, which, you know, starts in November and it goes until the end of March. It's a one-time payment on your primary heating bill. And then there's also our ESIP, which is, you know, the crisis program. So it helps pay your fuel bill when your energy is shut off or is threatened to be shut off. And so there's, for ESIP, there's one in winter, which goes from November through the end of May. And people can get up to $800 to help with their utility bills. And then there's one for summer, which goes from June 1st to the end of September. And they can get up to $300 for their utility bills.
Okay. So if someone would say maybe have a bill of $1,800 and your max then would be $800. Can that person still be given assistance, or is that a situation where they maybe may not be given assistance because the maximum would not do anything to really get their utilities back on?
We can help them, but you know they should know that as it is up to just $800. So for the other part, they're going to have to come up with the money. Like say if they are getting shut off, we can only help to a certain point. You know we can't do anything different with this client and provide them with more funds, so it is just the $800. So for the other $1,000 that they still owe, that's something that they would have to figure out.
So is it important to contact you all for assistance when you get that first disconnect notice? I know sometimes we want to wait to think that, you know, something may come up, we may get a job, some type of funding may come through, something else we're working on. You know, is it more important to apply for the program now, or in some cases, people like to wait?
It's important to apply as soon as you know that you might be disconnected, because it's first come, first serve. So getting your application in as early as possible will help you. This way, you know, maybe if something does help you, well, that's great. But this way, you'll have already had your application in, and you don't have to worry about that.
And not only that, but I know in some cases, how long does it take to process an application from the time, if you got that disconnect notice that says they may be, that your service can be disconnected any time after a certain date. So how long does it take if someone comes to you all, their funds available and approved, for that payment to be processed and made to the organization?
It can take LIHEAP up to 30 days to process. And that's what they tell people, is that it can take 30 days, because sometimes when people come, you know, especially if they're already disconnected, you know, they're very urgent, like, you know, I have to have this. But the problem is, you know, they go in order, and so there's people who had already applied. So they'll just, unfortunately, they have to wait.
Okay. So I know, what type of other assistance do you get on your emergency services programs?
For just, you mean LIHEAP?
Under LIHEAP, you know, things that, do you help people with food, clothing under that particular program? You know, blankets, things like that. Are there programs that, under LIHEAP that may help with those things?
Yes, I know they can give warm blankets if people need. It's on our website for people to see that if you need warm blankets. And also, I believe in the summer they have helped with window ACs. I'm not sure if they're going to do that this summer, but that has been a thing in the past.
Okay. I know one of the programs that you all do that we haven't talked about a little bit is you also help people with water bills. Which of your four core areas does that come underneath?
That is through our support services. And with the water bills, they can help with up to $500 to restore or prevent disconnection of the water service. But with the water bill help, it is if funds are available. And sometimes the funds are not always available, so that's important for people to know. If maybe they're in threat of getting their water shut off, we may not have the funds to help.
And another place where people may be able to go for situations like that, when people in Kansas City pay their water bills late, those late fees go into a fund to help people who cannot afford to pay their water bills. So, you know, sometimes definitely check with the city to see what funds they may have in that, because I know a lot of people and businesses alike do not pay their water bills on time, so there's always some money going into the fund every month.
Nice. I didn't know that
yes.
existed. That's great.
So the United Services Community Action Agency, which is now Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City, wanted to make sure we put those two together. How did that organization come about?
Wow, the organization started, actually we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year, this month, and you know, I've been with it for about a year and 2 months, so I know I can just say for our program how we started, but I don't know how the organization itself got started. I can find out for you.
Okay, so, well, I wanted to definitely highlight that they are celebrating their 40th anniversary, so they've been around. They're not something that just came up yesterday. They've been around for a little bit. So I know that in the past, the city of Kansas City used to do the weatherization program. So now, how long has that program been a part of United Services? United Services, formerly United Services Action Agency, now Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City. How long have you all been doing the weatherization program?
We've been doing the weatherization program about 4 years now. Yeah, it came to us in early 2014, and we get to weatherize about 20 homes a month.
So 20 homes a month, so you're averaging about 250 homes a year that you're weatherizing.
Yeah, it gets pretty high.
And then, as you said, if you're averaging $7,000 per home, so almost, we'll say, $1.5 million a year just in weatherization funding that's out there available for people to be able to tap and access and help to lower their utility bills.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful program. You know, we've heard people who, after they have the service, say, you know, thank you so much for what you're able to do, because now, you know, they're in their home. Not only are their bills lower, but they're more comfortable. And so, yeah, just letting people know that we're out there.
And just that little bit, if they take $10 to $20 a month off their utility costs, that's $250 a year or maybe more for, in some cases, for people that can keep them on that particular process where they may not need services as much, or they can begin to build a saving system that will help them through any emergencies that they may have.
Yes, and you know, it may seem small to some people, but that's a lot of money, so that could really help.
So do you take applications year-round for the weatherization program, or is it strictly, we'll say, January through October? Can anybody apply at any time?
Yes, people can apply at any time. We work year-round, even when there's snow outside. Our auditors are going out on days, you know, this past winter when there was snow outside. So we do work year-round. I know that people have been worried about that because I know some programs only work for certain, sometimes the nicer months of the year. But no, we'll take year-round, and we do audits year-round.
Okay. So you've mentioned audits before. What is an audit, and how does that actually help a homeowner?
Well, what they do for our program, they go, once the client is approved, they go and do an energy audit of the house. So two auditors will go out to the house. They'll test the water heater and the furnace to see how efficient they are. That does not mean those will be replaced, but we have to test it because our program is all about energy efficiency. They also look inside the attic, the crawl space, the walls to see how much insulation there is. Because as I said earlier, that's the problem we come across a lot, is that homes with no insulation. And, you know, sometimes the people may not even know that they don't have that because they don't go into the attic, or, you know, they don't have a way to look inside the walls. So for us, just going in to see this, and then they take the information they get from the audit and come back and put into a computer program. And then that program says what measures, what steps will provide the greatest energy savings for someone's home. And so a lot of the time it is insulation. That's a big one we have. You know, the Department of Energy says that, you know, the insulation, lack of insulation is one of the ways that, the biggest way that heat escapes out of your house.
Okay. So if you have any questions for Chelsea, give us a call on our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. And I know that also Kansas City Power and Light has a lot of different things on their webpage that you can look at, where they will come out and help you with energy efficiencies. You know, they can help you put in a Nest thermostat, which they can either put, come out and put it in for you, or they can then turn around and send you out the thermostat and you can put it in yourself. So it's one of those things of, it's interesting, and for those that decide to put it in themselves, they can get a $50 ticket, $50 cash. So we've got a caller. Give us a second. Hold on here. Caller, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from? Okay. Hold on one second. We're having a slight difficulty.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Sure. I'm calling from Overland Park. My name is Rich. I hear people say you should put your thermostat at 74 in the summer and 68 in the winter. I find those pretty uncomfortable. I'd like this lady's take on all of that. Okay?
So, great. Thank you for calling in, Rich. So can you tell us, what is the optimal temperature that somebody should take their, keep their thermostat at?
You know, I've only heard a little bit about this before. I'm not one of the energy auditors. I'm the outreach specialist, so I know some about thermostats, but with this, I don't have the best answer, but I can reach out to our production manager, who is in charge of the energy audits, to get what they say would be the best to keep it at.
Okay, let me know that, and I'll mention it in a future community minute. I know usually they say in the wintertime, I've heard when we had the big turn back, it was always, like I said, 72 to 74. And in the summertime, they ask people to keep it a little bit higher, between 78 and 80. And that's one of the great things about the Nest thermostat, that they actually, the KCP&L gives out. You can control the thermostat with your cell phone. So when you're not home, you can have your AC go down, go higher. So you can put it on 82, 84. And then as you're coming home, you can use that same cell phone to turn around and turn it down. So then when you're coming into the house is cooler. So you're saving those energy dollars during the day. And then you can do the reverse in the winter. So instead of you having to keep your thermostat on, you know, 74 to 76, you can let it go down a little bit and save those energy dollars. So then when you, as you're coming home, you can then turn around and boost it back up. So that's one of the great things. And it actually, for those that do have KCP&L, they send out a little flyer. It's like once a quarter, they'll let you know where your home ranked. And to get those energy savings, definitely check to get one of those energy audits, because you can definitely do a lot of different things. One of the things that people may not understand or look at is, they sell little pieces of insulation that will fit inside of your electrical outlet. Because when your electrician runs the wire, that wire runs all the way from the basement. So in the wintertime, cold air will come up, and there's a little, looks like a little plate. And you knock out the two little plates where your electrical outlets are, and you take it off, put it inside, and then screw it down, so it keeps that cold air from rushing throughout the side of that junction box. So there are just a lot of different ways. And I know one of the things you all say in your brochure is that small changes can make big differences.
Yes, that's very true. And, you know, that's something that they can get through all of our programs. It's just sometimes it's just a little small things can help. You know, it's incredible. Even, you know, it's just even just a little bit of help sometimes is all somebody needs.
Yeah. So if you have a question, give us a call, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. And also for those that may not be within a poverty level to be able to qualify for their programs, you have Kansas City Power and Light and you also Aspire that have different programs that where you can work with them to turn around and be able to, you know, get some of those same resources and savings off of their website. So just because you may not be at a point where you are, you know, able to receive services from one of the agencies in Kansas City, check out your utility provider and see what they have on their website, you know, because those are definitely great ways to be able to find it. I know right now KCP&L is doing a changeover, so from the 2nd through the 6th, their website is unavailable. But after the 6th, it should be back up that you can definitely look at finding out what is out there and Spire. Well, in some cases, double some of those rebates. So if you have older appliances, older utilities, definitely look and see what's on their webpage. I know about 7 years ago, there was a program where they were encouraging people to get appliances that were more energy efficient, and they were given a $200 to $300 rebate, you know, based on the type of appliance and the energy savings. So when you go out, look for those Energy Star rated appliances because they will save you money. And, you know, especially on your, it's cheaper in some cases to run a gas dryer than it is to run an electric dryer. So when you start to look at replacing your appliances, ask the salesperson about those energy rating labels and what, look at, on that other side of that, that label is that one big thing that tells you what it's going to cost you to run that appliance for 1 year. Compare appliances. You know, you may spend an extra, you know, maybe $100, but if you're looking at the life of a refrigerator and the energy savings cost on one is $25 a year versus that extra one and you spend an extra $100, $150 for, over the life of that appliance, you're going to save that $100 plus. So it's definitely something that people should definitely look at to, you know, save money because, as I said, one of the things that came out of the housing meeting that I attended, that we are a energy-dependent city and that residents spend more money per capita here than they do in some other places. So, and if you're interested, the City of Kansas City's next housing meeting is going to be the 23rd of May, and it's going to be at Sam Rogers, which is at 825 Euclid. So definitely just begin to look at it. And also on the city's webpage, they have a lot of the different information on the different meetings that are upcoming. So you can go to kcmo.org and go to neighborhoods, and you can see a lot of different things. You know, as we begin to wind down, do you have any other information that you would like to give to our listeners about your programs and the great work you do at Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City?
Right now, I just want to let them know, you know, it's just to spread the word, just to let more people know about us. You know, we talked about all the different programs and just, you know, talking to people and see, because sometimes we've heard that people haven't heard of us. And I know for our program, at least weatherization, we've only been there 4 years for this organization. So just telling people about us and just, you know, even checking our website to see, because we can help a lot of people. It's just really just getting the word and letting more people know the services that we can provide and reminding people that it is free. Because a lot of people, they're, you know, when they hear the word free, they're like, well, really? I can get this for free? Especially with ours, because in our program, we can put so much money into a house that people have a hard time believing. But it's just letting people know and, you know, just applying.
And that also that you don't have to be just a homeowner, that 56% of Kansas City that is actually renters can apply for your program, and it's no cost to the landlord. And then something that we did mention that I wanted to say to end is that you also can, if you live in a duplex, a multifamily, you can actually still also get services through you all.
Yeah, we can go up to a fourplex. We've done a duplex before, and it's really great because, you know, that's another, you know, housing where maybe a lot of people don't get services or don't think they can, because a lot of people seem to think that we can do work in homes. And we can also weatherize mobile homes, which is something else that people probably don't know that we can do. So, we can do up to a fourplex. And so, yeah, it's just getting more people to know that as well.
So that is, you know, and that's just that the tenant has to agree to it, that the, you know, now you not only do single family homes, but you do multifamily up to a fourplex, and you can also do a mobile home.
Yes, and so that opens up the, you know, the number of people we can help a lot.
And, you know, as a lot of people begin to downsize, you know, there's a lot of people who live in mobile homes, and having them weatherized, and, you know, they're already insulated and they get really hot, but in some cases just doing those weatherizations on them can help you keep them cooler in the summertime. So, you know, now is the time to look at these type of services, because I know in a couple of weeks our KCP&L bills will start to increase, because we go from the wintertime savings that we're all enjoying right now to the summertime where the utility costs rise. So now is the time that people should really look at trying to look at getting the house on that list to be weatherized.
Yes, definitely. Just, you know, especially this is a perfect time to do it. Do it now as soon as possible, because the big times for us are especially in the summer when we hear that, you know, the house is getting really hot and they can't keep it cool, and also in the winter. So now is a perfect time for people to apply.
You know, when people come to your office to drop off the applications, what is one of the biggest things that they may forget, that maybe they may have to make another trip out, or maybe a barrier to them getting services?
The biggest things that I've noticed is not only not having everything and that we need to apply for the program. So for us, a big thing that people forget is the income, or they don't have all the income. And so, you know, it's just proof of income for everybody in the house 19 years of age and older. And then we need that consecutive for the 3 months, so full 3 months of income. So that's a big one. It's also just completing the application. You know, they have to sign the back of it, and sometimes we get some where that's not filled out, and, you know, maybe they didn't put everybody in the house, or maybe they forgot to list themselves.
So definitely just double check to make sure. Do you all, you know, you all have to have copies of everything, so do you all provide copies, or when people come out, do they need to already have brought the copies with them to receive services?
We don't provide copies anymore. We used to, and it was just a lot of a problem. We unfortunately are not able to make any more copies. But if people, I know there's a library not too far from where we are.
Yes, Southeast Community Library, which is right there at the corner of 63rd and Swope Parkway. So I know most libraries have availability to make copies. So definitely something that, you know, if you're at home and something that you've got online, you can definitely maybe print it out. But, you know, there's a library. There's actually a couple of libraries on Prospect. There's one at Blueford right there at 31st and Prospect, you know. So there's always a library someplace located near you all, or another organization that you may be able to go to. I know Quick Trip used to have copies, and I know that a couple of the other drug stores, such as like CVS, would have places where people can make copies also.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, people, they're not happy that we don't make copies anymore, but yeah, just you know, if you know anybody who's applying for the program, just please let them know that we wouldn't need them to bring copies before they get to the office.
Okay, so what is the website if people want to look up for your organization to get more information?
Yes, the website is caagkc.org.
Okay. So I'd like to thank you for being our guest today. We're never in Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. The Kansas City, Missouri Paint Program is accepting applications starting 1 May, and it provides free paint and supplies to qualifying homeowners who live in Kansas City. There is no income requirement for this program. To qualify, you must live in Kansas City, own and reside in the property being painted, own only one program, and completely fill out the application and provide proof of ownership. So all labor must be accomplished or provided by the homeowner, and the house must be prepared before painting for a voucher will be issued. So they can receive over 450 different colors. So if your house needs a little bit of paint, definitely go ahead and apply. So And we'll talk about some other programs that the city's going to offer next week when our guest will be Livable Neighborhoods of Wyandotte County. So for Caltown Conversations, I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
Mm-hmm.